This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by Geek Fuel. They ship out a mystery box for geeks and gamers every month. Check them out and get a free bonus Star Wars item with your first box, at least a $10 value, if you head over to geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. That's geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. And by Entertain Art, get official licensed, ready to hang wall art for Disney, Star Wars, Marvel, DC, and many other studios. You can check them out and use discount code SWR20 if you go to StarWarsReport.com/art. On with the show. Coming up on this episode of the Star Wars Report, we have not one but two, and really three if you count them, Rogue One trailers. They're just coming fast and furious. We've got a new character name reveal and a special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is the Star Wars Report podcast, the flagship podcast of the StarWarsReport.com, the network we got over there, the Second Airborne, and just about the most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting this side of the Outer Rim. Hey, everybody. Hey, I'm Riley. I host this thing. Glad you found us. Glad you found us. We're in the hurdle, the midst of the avalanche to Rogue One, and I'm super excited to have you tuned in this week. Now, a couple important points of business here right at the top. The first thing you need to know right now is, in the tradition of last year, as the weather gets colder, which in Georgia takes November. I'm letting you guys know the beverages. So this week's podcast is brought to you by crisp apple cider and a cafe vanilla latte that I made, and I'm dual wielding them, not unlike Anakin in the duel in Episode 2. Also, number two, joining us this week is Mr. Scott Rifen. How's it going, Scott?
And my portion of this podcast is brought to you by Chick-fil-A unsweet tea from this afternoon.
Unsweet?
I had to train myself to drink. I consume so much fluid on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I had to train myself to drink unsweet tea, because if it was all sweet, it would be like, you know, I'd be adding like 1,200 calories to every meal. So,
dude, I admire your discipline more than I have.
Yeah, it's discipline. It was desperation is what it was.
Dude, yeah, seriously, we've got so much stuff to talk about. Much stuff. And really, there's a lot of Rogue One stuff. In fact, I don't want to, let's not beat around the bush. Let's talk about this Rogue One international trailer in the news.
We have something to report.
The Delta have the news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
We can send a clear transmission. All right, let's start off. Rogue One international trailer. Have you seen it, Scott?
Yes.
Have you seen the spoiler? Well, they're kind of two spoilers. Well, really just one. And it's not even a spoiler. It's a trailer. It's an official trailer, so therefore it can't be a spoiler. Isn't that the policy? That's our policy.
Yeah, absolutely. If they put it out, it ain't a spoiler.
Exactly. I don't care if they do a press release saying who Rey's mother is. That then is no longer a spoiler. So there. Take that.
What?
That's our new policy. We're instituting it now.
Rey's mother?
Wait, Rey's mother.
Rey's Did parentage. I miss something somewhere? Rey, why are you talking about Rey again?
Maybe.
I thought we were talking about Jen at this point.
I mean, I was just using trying to illustrate an example of our spoiler policy, and the first person who jumped to my mind was Rey.
You know, Riley, it's time to leave Rey behind for a year anyway. It's time to focus on Jen.
Mm-mm. Can't do it.
It's time to move forward.
No.
To Jen. In fact, you can get a double dose of Jen because you can go see her in Inferno right now.
Wait, Daisy Ridley's in Inferno?
No, Jen's in Inferno.
All right.
We've got to help. You've got to get help for this guy.
It's
Call
a problem.
Call 1-800 Riley needs help and make your contribution. Say, forget Patreon for the moment. You know, come back to Patreon when it's time. But for now, we need your contributions to go to the right place. Please get Riley off of Bray. Or get him a date with her. Either one.
One of the two, although really preferably the latter. Let's be honest. Also, like whenever... Dude, you have not, my week is made every time she posts one of the new Instagram fitness videos. I'm just like, you know, I'm good for the week. It's a problem. It's a problem.
I'm telling you, we need either therapy to get you off of her, or let's just go ahead and go full bore with the social media press to get you a date with her.
Yeah, that's great. Great. It's gonna go great. All right. So, and look, it's already totally derailed the show within like 3 minutes of us starting. All right. So the Rogue One international trailer.
This is what we do.
I know. Remember this time last year, you and I were doing Star Wars Tonight, and they had the China market.
Yeah. Whatever happened to that
international
show?
Trailer? Oh, it's online. You can still.
Is it?
You can find it in the archives. In fact, that's one of the few video editions we published on our Star Wars Report YouTube channel, and you can go back and see. We have a couple of the Star Wars Tonight episodes. We published the video versions.
Yeah, the Star Wars Tonight, does it still exist?
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything about it.
Sure, you haven't. Star Wars Tonight, your nightly countdown, Monday through Thursday of Star Wars Rogue One, coming soon is Scott Rifen.
I don't know. Hadn't heard that.
No, you are.
Cleared through my agent yet.
I'll have my people talk to your people.
Please, yes.
No, the problem is you keep being busy weeknights. This is going to stop. All right, enough insights.
No, that's true. And, between rehearsal for the It's a Wonderful Life, which I invite you to come down and see, by the way, sir.
Yes. Dude, absolutely. I got to do it.
I took on the duties of being the play-by-play voice on the radio of the Glen Academy Red Terrors.
Yep.
And they're crashing through the playoffs right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, assorted trivia nights. I do trivia every Thursday, and then once a month on Tuesdays we do nerd trivia to promote the upcoming Jekyll Comic Con.
Ah.
Which I also invite you to be a part of, because you know who's going to be at Jekyll Comic Con.
Daisy Ridley.
No. 1-800. Get Riley some help. Please. He needs it. Lugabeast.
Wait, who now?
Lugabeast.
Lugabeast.
I was expecting, holy cow, instead I got, what?
Who? What?
Lugabeast.
All right, I'm good. Hang on. Don't even tell me.
Remember that big thing Tito's riding on?
Oh, yes.
When Daisy Ridley tells him off?
I was about to say...
Yes.
Lugabeast. You shouldn't have even told me, man. I could have guessed
it. He shared screen time with Daisy Ridley, so I thought that might get you down here.
You make a good point, sir. You make a good point.
Lugabeast and my understanding is a fully functional BB-8 will be on hand as well.
Dude, are you kidding? Definitely.
No, absolutely not.
I'm all on board for this.
The guys, you know Roxy the Rancor.
Yep, of course. Yeah, the Belgian
garrison.
They're
just down the road in Jacksonville. The guys who built Roxy, you know, decided they're going to retire Roxy, and their next thing is Lugabeast.
I feel like I may have... I'm trying to... This... Dude, when is this? I want to go.
December 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Oh, so it's like the lead-in, right? You just go there.
Yeah, and then, right the week before, yeah.
And then just crash at Scott's place and then go watch Rogue One.
You know that you're welcome to do that.
No, I was talking to the,
that you're welcome
I was
to do
talking
that.
To the entire listening audience. We're doing Rifen Con. It's the entire week leading up to you start off where you go all to Jekyll Comic Con, and then you just hang out at Scott's house for 5 days while you wait for the movie.
That's right. And please, those contributions for Patreon, I'd like you to route them to 1-800 pay Scott's divorce lawyer fees because that's what that would lead to.
True enough. Oh wait, that's definitely a pre-roll ad for the Rogue One. All right, here we go. Rogue One International Trailer 2. Let's take a listen.
Jin, whatever I do it to protect you.
I understand.
Trust the Force.
Ooh. We have a kyber crystal. It's a kyber crystal.
We have intercepted a coded Imperial transmission.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
It indicates that a major weapons test.
That's the Herleman theory.
We need to know how to destroy it. So why me?
The message was sent by your father.
They call it the Death Star. We need to capture the planet. If my father built it, we need to find him.
If the Empire has this kind of power, what chance do we have?
Rebellions are built on hope.
I want to help.
We'll need a team.
She wants to fight.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
He means well.
Cargo shuttle, what's
this is the best
sign?
Part of the whole freaking trailer.
It's, Rogue. Rogue One.
May the Force be with us.
And then we cut to the very traditional music and a very, very similar to the last theatrical trailer. We do get a new shot of Vader at the end, but man, there's some big moments in this trailer that I can't wait to talk about. Let's take a listen to the last little moment here.
Take hold of this moment. The Force is strong.
Father! We'll take the next chance. And the next. Until we win, or the chances are spent.
Oh, there's the piano. Dink, dink. I'm just right now on air. I want to download a piano app and then just start doing you narrating epic trailers while I just put little one note versions of Star Wars themes on the app. I feel like that needs to be a thing. That should be the bonus for this week on Star Wars Tonight for the Patreon bonus.
Yeah.
Just all right, that's it. We're doing that after the show. All right, man. What'd you think of the trailer? What are your big takeaways?
It's a journey unlike any other. We've seen. No, it's. It's so funny because so much of what we've seen in Rogue One, and this really exemplified it, is the best of what we loved about Star Wars when we were kids, you and I together growing up mm-hmm. here in South Georgia, and with all the new technology.
Yeah.
It is funny, though, how much I've seen Darth Vader's armor nitpicked to death. To death.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to get 100% right. It just ain't going to be right. Sorry.
Yeah.
But there's so much old school in this. I'm watching those X-Wings going and fighting, watching the Massacre Temple on Yavin 4, and just there's just so much that's cool. And then all of a sudden you get the beach planet.
Mm-hmm. Get some reggae.
Again, let me ask
get
you this.
Palm trees.
That beach planet, is that the one that shows up in that horrible, terrible Princess Leia Moving Target book?
I have not read it. Is it horrible, terrible? Oh, no.
I thought it was horrible, terrible. Because at one point they stop on a beach planet and buy T-shirts. And it's just like, what?
What is the problem?
And like T-shirts with clever slogans on them and stuff. It's like, what are you doing?
How has so much weird stuff gotten past Story Group? Like, what was the novel with the Vader band?
That was an Heir to the Jedi, yeah.
Yeah. What is this weirdness?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's literally, but never mind. But back to the trailer. Okay. I have a couple thoughts. We talked about this on Star Wars Tonight Thursday when this was released. But okay. Upon reflection, especially after watching it twice, I'm really noticing how much this trailer does, especially in some of the extra dialogue and the sort of showing of her relationship with her father and mother and that kind of crystal being passed or that whatever that kind of trinket is. Maybe it's just a Jaipur snippet 2.0.
Nice.
But maybe, I don't know, watching that made me really think that they're building a structural familiarity with what we know from the saga films, and that is intense conflict between family members and a sort of tied to a grand destiny. It's just not Skywalkers. Because I really think that Krennic has some kind of relationship with her father, and her father has this some sort of conflicted relationship and destiny tied up with the Death Star in some way. We just don't know exactly what that looks like yet.
There is a knowing look when Krennic and her father kind of face off in that field.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, they definitely know each other. In fact, I'm willing to bet that he was trying to escape the Empire,
yep.
and Krennic was the guy. Like, they were in pilot school together, and he deserted the Empire, and Krennic stuck around, and Krennic went after him because he knew he needed his expertise.
Scott Rifen agrees with that theory, by the way.
Excellent. Well, let me see. Nice, nice. Well, let me see if you agree with this theory. Do you think that that trinket is a kyber crystal?
You know, I still... I think that obviously.
I'll give you the timestamp too. We're going to be scientific about this. I'll give you the timestamp as well.
No, I just looked at it. It's about 28.
28. All right. Well, you beat me to it. Yeah. What do you think?
Or 27. They did it. Well, it's obviously a first act thing, and if you know anything about screenwriting, storytelling, if it happens in the first act, it is relevant to the end of the film.
Yeah.
So that having been said. Whether it's a kyber crystal or not, and I would hope it's not a kyber crystal per se, just because it's awfully tiny. You're talking lightsaber.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, I'm thinking the super weapon.
There was a dense forest ahead in this podcast pathway, and you already started forging the path that I was about to, because that was my next question for you, sir. And that is, looking at this, I think it is a kyber crystal, and I think it's tied to her father and mother, and I think Orson Krennic knows that Galen Erso has expertise and history with the Jedi, and an understanding both scientific and mythological that could harness the power of kyber crystals, and even possibly the power of the Force to construct the Death Star, the Empire's ultimate weapon, the Death
and
Star.
You're saying that the Death Star is essentially, the super weapon is essentially a giant lightsaber.
Exactly. Like, and talk about the height of irony when they're like, the power of the Force is nothing compared to this technological terror you've constructed. What if it is the power of the Force?
Well, and you know, the thing is, historically, you've been so right about things. I go back to Jakku as Tatooine, and that it's hard to contest anything you say in this matter. But, you know, honesty, that's plausible. You know, I hate to say this, Riley. This is actually, it's paining me for the words to actually come out of my throat. But that's plausible. I like it, in fact.
Uh-huh. You know what? I don't even care now if it turns out to be false. I got the Scott Rifen stamp of approval.
Yeah. No, look, and I reject dumb new Star Wars theories by the bushel.
You are a fan of the Your Snoke Theory Sucks sticker.
Yeah, I would love to have one of Steele's Your Snoke Theory Sucks stickers. But
I think I've got one somewhere. I need it like here in the studio. I need to put that sticker.
I hope to shake Steele. I'm assuming will be at Celebration in August.
He will.
And I would like to shake Steele's hand.
Great dude. Great. I never met him or talked to him. I like briefly bumped fists, and it wasn't even on purpose. It was just like an unintentional crowd.
Accidentally ran into
at Celebration.
Fist. Hey, we bumped fists.
and then actually we got to hang out a little bit at.
Of course, you didn't mention you were standing at urinals next to each other when that happened.
I was gonna add that detail. All right, fine. And we've got a new one. We have a new South Korean. Wow, these are highly specific. Like, I wonder if there's are these market tested for the different countries these international trailers have?
I would think so, just because I know that that's how the Force Awakens ones were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a story, and we had Trisha Barr talking about this, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all kind of wrapped up in the Star Wars Tonight thing last year.
Yep.
Hang on a second, Riley. I'm sorry.
Oh, what happened?
I was remembering last year and my frequent involvement in Star Wars Tonight. I kind of got overcome because I haven't been on this year.
I've tried. He's like, wait, no, Yoda, no, there's no try. No, dude, we will get, as soon as you have a freaking weeknight that you're free at 7 p.m., you will text me that. Every weeknight, Monday through Thursday from now, that is free from now until the movie release. I want you to text me that tonight, sir. And I'll put you on my spreadsheet. Speaking of what's coming up this week, we have Justin Robert Young making his debut. Sorry, now I'm just torturing Scott. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. I have to usually what I do is I have to I've got a bad feeling about this. All right, so we're going to go through this second trailer, but here's the interesting thing. I have not had the opportunity to see it yet. These are from the notes.
This is like one of those reaction videos.
I'm technically, the video is recording. I think the broadcast killed, but hang on. Yeah. Allow me to appropriately prepare myself to overreact to everything and narrate everything as it happens. I'm so tempted to do that. What's funny is, but
I got it queued up. Count me down. Tell me when you're ready.
Okay, excellent. I will do that. I feel so judgmental when I do it, but honestly, like I could, I have good friends who do the reaction videos.
And some of here's the thing. There's some of them that are just honest to goodness, unadulterated, pure joy.
Yeah.
And I love those.
So, and have you seen this yet then?
No.
Wait.
No, I've not seen it.
Dude, are you kidding? All right, hang on.
We got a double reaction.
I'm going to have you, if you could tilt your camera ever so slightly, to the side. That way you won't be center frame, but left frame. This is great for the podcast listeners. This is the exact problem. Exact. Perfect. Lamar. There we go.
More?
Nope, you're good.
More than just spent.
More did he speak? This is exactly the problem with these things is that, by the way, of all the things of all the time, I'm a Star Wars media personality. I talk about Star Wars all the time. Hey, my name's Riley. I podcast about Star Wars. Hi, Riley. I've never recorded a reaction video to anything.
Nor have you.
So we're recording our first reaction video and it's the Korean international trailer to Rogue One. This is an oddly specific, very like no one's going to hear. This seems to be perfectly appropriate. So here's what I'm going to do is, and for the folks who are listening to this on podcast, what I'm doing is.
Am I too far over now?
Yeah, you're good. What I'm doing is I'm doing a nice little side by side with me and Scott, and that way you'll see our reactions, and I'm going to post this video on this odd video, this oddly specific trailer reaction video to our Facebook page. So if you're listening to the podcast version and all of this long beating around the bush, that's where you can actually see what we're about to do. Scott's prepared, guys. He's ready to go on this. So the last thing I've got to do is literally just pull it up on my phone here. I won't do that because that way Scott, you'll hear it. So I'll just pull it up on my computer. And that way we'll both watch it. And I'm at the zero counter.
So I should turn my sound down.
No. It's that meaning that you won't have to this time. You'll be good. Oh. You can leave it on. And in fact, the folks listening to the podcast will hear it. And if you're listening to the podcast, I encourage you to check out facebook.com/Star Wars Report where we post this video. I'm at the zero counter. You ready, sir?
When you are.
All right. I'm going to do 3, 2, 1, go. And on the word go. All right. 3, 2, 1, go. All right. Here we go.
Seen that.
Jim, whatever I do.
Yeah.
I do it to protect you.
It's a white cape.
So you understand?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Still.
I believe you ordered coffee.
We don't see anything new here.
Not so far.
We have intercepted a coded Imperial transmission. It indicates that a major weapons test is imminent.
You know the thing.
We
love that shot.
To destroy it.
Yeah,
not new.
The message was sent by your father.
They call it the Death Star. It's capable of destroying an entire planet.
And there we get that hint.
There's a way to defeat it. You need to capture the plans.
If you're really doing this, I want to help.
We'll need a team.
She wants to fight.
You almost shot me.
You're welcome.
There we go, little new stuff.
The power that we are doing here is immeasurable.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
Cargo shuttle, what's your call sign?
It's, Rogue.
I love this moment.
Rogue One.
Whoa, hack special.
I have no idea we're coming.
Make 10 men feel like 100.
We'll take the next chance. And the next. Until we win. But the chances are spent.
Yeah.
Good looking X-Wing stuff there at the end.
Dude. I'm kind of glad we shot a reaction video.
Well, you know what we were just talking earlier? I was talking about how, you know, it satisfies a lot of what I, as a kid, you know, a 1977 Star Wars kid, really loved. And that was, they added more of that in that trailer.
Yeah.
With more of that X-Wing stuff at the end. And you got to see the destruction of the AT-AT that they blew at. You know, you've seen the shot of the little missile hitting it over and over again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This time it's going down.
Yeah, and I feel like I saw it blipped by really quick, but I feel like I saw the X-Wings doing like a low flyover, pardon the military comparison, but it's very much similar to like the A-10 Warthog would do in the air-to-ground combat.
Pardon the military comparison, this is a war.
True. I mean, that's true, but just, if you don't know what the A-10 is, it's the best freaking plane ever.
They just saved it.
They did? I know, yeah. That was a big budgetary concern.
No, I think they just saved the A-10 Warthog. I thought I just read that.
I think, yeah. They're going to... This is what happens with the military, is that, hey, we're going to build a new fighter. It's going to be the F-35, and it's going to do everything the F-16 and the F-22 does. It's going to be great. We're going to have different versions for the different services. You'll retire every other plane. So they build it, go billions of dollars over budget, and they're like, and also we're not retiring any other airplanes. We're just adding it to the arsenal.
Well, it wasn't quite...
We're still flying B-52s, so there we go. Now we're getting military Air Force nerdy stuff.
Hey, you weren't there last summer. I got to take a ride in a B-17, World War II era.
Nice. Dude, that was awesome. I really like, well, because it was in this shot, in this trailer as well, they're showing that shot of the Death Star being used on Jeddah. I mean, that's what it is. There's no doubt about it, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah. But it looks like the super laser is not quite where it's supposed to be far as the, you know, the magnitude of it.
It's in beta. It's still in beta.
Well, they're also awfully close to the planet to be shooting it there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got to be careful there. You don't want to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's... man, I really do like... We're getting really into the heat of... really into the heat of this. It's... I love how much stuff is coming out right now. And I love the dialogue. I'll tell you what. You know what's his face is getting a lot of... Diego Luna? Yeah, Diego Luna's character. What is his name?
Hans Christian Andersen, I think, is what they call him in the film.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. All right. Make 10 men feel like 100. You kill my father. Prepare to die.
Prepare to die.
Darth Vader is a bad man. We will destroy the Death Star. Make 10 men feel like 100. Did you listen to the Steel Wars reaction podcast to that, not this trailer or the other international trailer, but the most recent, I think, trailer 2 is what they called it, for Rogue One.
I didn't hear the reaction.
Oh, it's the best thing ever. He has, if you listen to Steel on our New York Comic Con episode, the man has a strong sense of Aussie pride. Not in terms of just like general
nationalism. Yeah, I did hear all that, yeah.
But a very strong sense of pride in specifically Ben Mendelsohn.
Yes.
Bindo, he calls him.
Yes, and Bindo, I did hear that.
You thought he geeked out about Ben Mendelsohn on our podcast, where he went on an extended 2-minute soliloquy about how great Ben Mendelsohn is. He records the podcast with a YouTuber, what is her name? Maude Garrett. And so it's on her YouTube video, and it's also on his Steel Wars podcast. So I'm plugging it because it's so good. And that reaction podcast, man, like, they basically did an entire 10 minutes on just the line, "The power that we are dealing with is immeasurable." And they just basically break down Ben Mendelsohn's performance of just the word "immeasurable." And they're like, look at the enunciation. He's so great. Let's watch the trailer again. Have you seen the new Rogue One trailer? That's my... All right. Australians are now offended who are listening.
Cassian Andor, by the way.
Thank you, Cassian Andor.
You're welcome.
You know what he's doing?
No.
He's making 10 men feel like 100. I'm starting to fall in love with these characters, man.
This is going to be fun. This is... They're just... there's so much that we played that is going to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that it on the one hand, it's a little disappointing because these are the things we did play when we were kids.
Yeah.
Getting the Death Star plans, that kind of thing. So sometimes it's tough when that stuff gets codified, you know, gets set in stone. But this is going to be exciting. It's going to be.
Why is that?
Why is what?
Why do you think when once it gets codified, when it that conflict with your imagination and your memories as in childhood, how it affects your enjoyment of a new version of that story? I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on, especially when it comes to like some of these spinoff films like Rogue One that's telling this very important. And ladies and gentlemen, Scott's going to tell us all about it right after I tell you about a sponsor for us this week. Right now, I wanted to tell you guys all about Entertain Art. In fact, Entertain Art is continuing to be to sponsors really all through the release of Rogue One. So make sure as we're getting, especially as we're getting towards the holiday season, listen very closely because Entertain Art has officially licensed ready-to-hang wall art from Marvel, Disney, and of course Star Wars. And it's run by it's a really passionate team of folks over there who are really, really putting a lot of time into work of just putting great art prints for quality and for price. And if you check them out, they've got great canvas in both metallic and regular. They do embellished products. They've got more than 1,000 designs on their site, which of course include quite a bit of Rogue One designs. Actually, one of my favorites, actually, Scott. I'm just gonna show this. I can't. Oh, I just realized Skype won't let me see it. But I have behind me here in my studio the R2D2 and C3PO event poster. We went to Austin, Texas around this time last year, and I remember the live music's everywhere. And you would see this very kind of poster and artwork all over Austin. So allow me to do a dramatic reading. I'm going to pull it off the wall here. Hang on, I got to pull it up. Oh, I'm knocking stuff over here. These are the droids you're looking for one night only, 9 p.m. Doors open at 8 with R2KT, TC14, R6, H5, R7A7, R7A4, and R3S6, with, of course, featured performers R2, D2, and C3PO. And it's got, like, this really cool artwork for the for this live concert, whatever the droid concert is. It's great. So there they are. That's Entertain Art. Make sure that you head over to StarWarsReport.com/art. And that takes you straight to the store. It also lets them know that you came from us. And when you decide to make your purchase, make sure that you use discount code SWR20. That gets you 20% off. SWR20. You can't ask for that. You buy something for $5, $1 off. $10, $2 off. Look at that. It's the best thing ever. Oh, look, and Scott Rifen even has the website. See, it's a nice design. You can see it right there. And there it is, top right corner. These are the droids you're looking for. So that, again, one last time, it's StarWarsReport.com/art. Okay.
Oh, hey.
Oh, uh-oh.
What? Marvel stuff.
Oh, see, we've lost Scott, everybody.
Yeah, it's over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's over.
It's gone. Like, dude, the wood frames. All right. No. Spot's over. Let me find. So we were talking about the Rogue One international trailers, but Scott, I was asking you about, broadly speaking, with Rogue One. I don't understand it. Explain to me what the phenomenon is of those childhood memories you have, telling these stories, and now you're seeing a new version of them. Does that make you adverse in some ways?
It makes me averse in some ways. It does a little. I mean, and look, it's not that I'm not excited about the film. I'm very excited about the film. But yeah, sometimes when these, and this is not one of those stories that you really hate to see it all dashed, especially if they do it well. A lot of people really enjoyed A.C. Crispin's Solo trilogy, if you recall that.
Yes.
You know, they used to have these books with Star Wars that would come out every so often. I don't know if you've heard of that or not, but you know, that was one of those things. A lot of people liked it. I was not a real big fan of it because they explained everything, you know, in his past. Every reference to every cryptic thing, the scar that, you know, and that bothered me because, you know, I wanted some things to me. But yeah, when you're a kid, you play these things, and that's kind of how you get it set in your mind that that's what it is, and you enjoy that, and you reflect fondly upon that. And then when this comes out, it kind of says, oh, by the way, everything you thought was right, it's not right. This is it instead. And again, if it's well done, it's well done. It's great. But it does kind of make you go, oh, man, because that does diminish. You hold out the possibility in your mind that this was the way it went down because that's the way you imagined it. And so you have that active participation in the whole process. It's like all the people make all the fan films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've taken a piece of Star Wars and they've used their imagination to make some part of that saga their own in their minds. And then all of a sudden they go, well, you know what? That thing you did in your mind was nice, but we got this.
Yeah.
That's all.
That makes sense.
I'm not slagging it at all. Not at all. But it is there's a little bit of a sense of, oh, gosh, we had that market cornered on that story, and now we don't.
Well, and it's a dynamic that's definitely present in the storytelling. And it's always kind of interesting to me to see how that plays out. And I think it's just a generational thing, honestly, because there was never any Star Wars that I didn't know about that I couldn't just go find out about. Pretty much any question I ever had about Star Wars, I could literally just go get the answer.
Yes. And when we were kids, there was one movie and that was it. And really, and I've told you this before, and I tell this to a lot of people and other people say it as well. Of my ilk, and that is, you know, Marvel Star Wars was Star Wars for us every month. That was how the universe got filled in. That's why, you know, some of us get really irate when you start, you know, slagging on Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, no, I'm, dude, Scott, I hear you, man. Like, I am absolutely, like, 100% the number one Jackson fan club member. Well, I'm not being ironic. All right. And also, all right. I'm just imagining a Jackson fan club, and I'm sure.
Well,
I'm sure there is one. There's.
Well, somewhere. You gotta have the secret phrase to get in. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. I can't do that. We've got a few actor names and characters from some Topps cards. Hey, is this deja vu or what? For Rogue One, and I want to. Bring them up here. This is from a piece in Jedi News. And they're linking to...
Speaking of Marvel Star Wars.
Oh, mm-hmm.
No, you said Jedi News. Oh. I was thinking about Mark.
Oh, gotcha. Absolutely.
I got to help Mark complete his Star Wars Marvel collection recently.
I haven't got him yet on Star Wars Tonight. We were scheduled, but we had a time conflict. But he's definitely going to be on very soon.
So you say.
In fact, what's funny is right on my desk right now, I have these index cards from the initial teaser trailer reaction podcast we did. And it had Mark on, we had Aaron Goins on, Herleman was on. And we all did, predictions for The Force Awakens based on just the first teaser trailer. And
yeah, I remember that.
I felt... at the time, pretty confident in mine, but I was going to do it on an episode. Well, we're going to revisit this when I get them on Star Wars Tonight. But I feel like we're going to give you guys the names of some of the new Rogue One characters in a moment. But I do want to take a brief second out just to go through these. So let's start with Mr. Aaron Goins. He predicted it would be his favorite Star Wars film. I believe I have heard him say it is his favorite Star Wars film.
You're talking about The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark Herleman put out the risky bet that there would be an epic space battle at the end.
In a Star Wars movie? Come on.
I was giving him no shortage of crap for that. Come on, Mark. We all know. Like, although technically it was kind of in atmosphere, wasn't it? A lot of the battle. I don't know if that.
Look, if it's got X-Wings and TIE Fighters, it's a space battle.
All right. All right, so even the X-Wing, so even on board the beach planet in Rogue One, does that count? So that's X-Wing flying around there. All right, fair deal.
Yeah.
Fair deal. Mark Newbold, dude, so darn close. All right, his prediction has to do with what I'm about to Google, which is The Force Awakens box office. Now, Mark Newbold predicted that it would make $2.1 billion at the global box office. Now, the final number on the global box office was 2.06.
Don't stop it.
He was within 450,000
million.
450 million. Yes, 450 million.
And we say it that way, it's like whatever.
Well, no, but it's like literally
No, is that 450,000? Yeah. Okay. Because you're going to 1 million.
Yeah, yeah, 2.066. So, yeah, yeah. Well,
So, you actually talk about 340,000.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's well, Mark Newbold.
We should take up a collection and go see the movie a few more times to get it there.
just for that. Like, wait.
Yeah.
All we need is 300,000 to go fund me.
Take your Patreon money. I know I said to give it to Riley first, and then I know I said to give it to me for a divorce attorney. But give it to Mark Newbold so he can add it to the Force Awakens gross.
Exactly.
1-800-HELP-MARK-NEWBOLD.
Exactly. My prediction now, darn it, I was so close. I predicted that there would be a big Luke Skywalker moment. I did say Force moment, though. At the very end of the film. So I said right at the end, there's going to be a big giant, he wields some kind of force power. So like if I just omitted force. Close.
No, let's be fair.
Yeah.
Did you say a big Luke Skywalker force moment?
Yeah. Like he was going to use some kind of crazy.
Cause they practically did force him into the film. So you could be,
I was thinking more like some awesome Force Unleashed style display of power that we'd never seen before in a Star Wars film, which we might get in Episode 8. I would be very interested because that's one thing that, like, there's not a lot of new stuff in the world of Star Wars. That's one thing Force Unleashed really did well, which just hit me like the perfect time in life because Force Unleashed was, I played through that game like 3 or 4 times, more than any other Star Wars video game I've ever played. And I love that original game. Second one, not so much. First one, so good.
Well, the second one, if I may be allowed a really bizarre self-indulgent plug, the story of both of those and how they came about and how the second one failed to live up to expectations will be told on a future episode of My Star Wars Story.
Please tell me you got Sam Witwer.
No, I got Collins.
David Collins. Oh, well, actually, probably honestly better. Like, he knows stuff.
Collins and I recorded, you know how I have to take these things and beat them into smaller broadcast?
Let me guess. You guys were like in 5 hours, right?
It was almost 5 hours, yeah. It was almost five.
This is like my Force Awakens prediction. So close.
No, yeah, it was probably about 4:45 or so that he and I recorded.
Holy
crap. We had to spread it out over a couple of days. It was funny because he would throw things. He'd go, so-and-so happened, and I'd throw out the year. Oh, yeah. And he's, it was like, you really know your years and your chronology. And you're like, yes, I know. That's how I gauge moments in my life when Star Wars things came out. So,
dude, yeah. No, I had a chance to talk to David Collins a little bit this summer when we went down to Disney. Yes. And fortunately,
yes, I was with you.
Yeah, no, he's willing to come on Star Wars tonight. So I'll be shortly scheduling David Collins.
You better get him fast. He's about to be a dad any second now.
That's true. Actually, I don't. Yeah, no, I need to touch base with him again. So there we go. That's the official predictions. We're all so close yet so far. The only people who got it right were very risk averse people like Mark Herleman.
I'm giving Newbold his. I'm sorry.
That's dude.
I'm giving that to Newbold.
Yeah, that is freakishly close. Because he wasn't too gung-ho. He wasn't like, I was like, wait, you don't think it's going to beat Avatar? Because at that time, I was like, I was in on the hype, man. I was like, dude, this thing's going to make $5 billion, dude. I don't know why I suddenly sound like a surfer. and he's like, no, actually, I think Royal Adel. I can't do the Mark Newbold accent. Oh well, I was about to try and then I thought better of it. All right, these tops cards, let's talk about it. Back to Rogue One.
Right.
According to Jedi News, we have which links to Lucas Siegel's piece over at comicbook.com that reveals the names of the actors who will be portraying three of the creatures that we will be seeing on screen at Rogue One. Paul Casey will be playing the role of two different characters, the mercenary pilot Idrio Two Tubes. You have to really enunciate it.
Arthur Two Sheds Jackson.
And the Mon Calamari Admiral Radis. That's Paul Casey. Again, that's Idrio Two Tubes. And Nick Kellington. I don't know why that amuses me. And Nick Kellington will be playing the famous space monkey, as he was so ordained, the Ewing Gunner Bistan. You guys, it's particularly Bastan was a big, big hit at Celebration Europe when we were there. I wish I'd gone to that panel, man. It was a Force Awakens, like special effects and creature effects panel, and then suddenly out of nowhere, freaking Space Monkey shows up, fully in suit, ready to go with his Gatling gun.
Knee stick.
Yeah, dude.
It's 2 letters difference from the Spanish word for steak.
Oh, really? You're ahead, and I'm in Spanish 2101, and I didn't know that.
Bistec.
makes enough sense to me. And then also there's the name of an X-Wing pilot has been revealed. This piece is from Beckett.com, and we have the female X-Wing pilot. Her name is Zal Dinnes. Little known fact, third cousin to Dennis Lawson, which makes it a very interesting connection with A New Hope, of course. No, that's not true. That's a lie.
What? How do you spell that? I didn't see that.
That is linked in the show notes a little further down, but Zal, Zaldinnes. So that's right, ladies and gentlemen, as you're getting ready to tweet this news out, make sure you get that two N's. Zal Dinnes. And again, continuing the tradition of Tops revealing some of the smaller details, but interesting details nonetheless on
Rogue One. Do you think that is like a Dennis Lawson? I mean, it's kind of...
Oh, like a reference for Dennis Lawson?
Like a Cold War treatment or whatever.
I was totally being facetious and sarcastic, and now you're making me think that, well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe.
No.
Who knows?
I can see it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what else have we got here? Of course. We've got Boba's Bounty here in just a second. But before we jump to that, I do want to tell you about the other sponsor for today, and that is, of course, Geek Fuel. Now, Geek Fuel, they ship out a mystery box for geeks and gamers every month, at least $50 value, and all you have to do is pay $15 plus shipping and handling. Every box has a t-shirt, an exclusive t-shirt nonetheless, a full downloadable game, and 5 to 7 other assorted geeky items. But here's the thing. Of course, you can check out Geek Fuel. Subscription boxes are really fun. They're really popular these days. A lot of people are doing them. However, what they're doing with us, what Geek Fuel has been nice enough to give you, the Star Wars Report listeners, is your own bonus Star Wars item with your first box. That's at least $10 of value extra in that first box. Make sure you sign up through geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. That's geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. And I'm just going to take 30 seconds here to reach over. We got it. I have in my hands the actual subscription box. I've not opened it yet, but I'm just going to do a little unboxing, if you will. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go here on. I'm actually going to go here for the video version, and put myself here full screen so that everybody can see the box as it gets unearthed here. So, Scott, do you do the subscription boxes? Have you ever tried out Geek Fuel? You ever been tempted to get the mystery box?
No.
Now's your chance because you can get your own free bonus Star Wars item. So I'm actually just going to go through this real fast because I'm very curious. All right, here we go. We got some pretty cool packaging. Oh, we have a black bag here, sealed envelope that says bonus with a sticker. So now I'm just curious. We're going to reveal the rest of the items next week, but for this week, what we're going to reveal from the Geek Fuel box is the... I need a knife here. I got to rip open the bag here. Oh, cool. So the bonus item here... Oh, crap. It's Vader Down Issue 1 with a certificate of authenticity. Huh. How about that?
Like, certificate of authenticity? Like, it really is Vader Down Issue 1?
Yeah. Yeah, it has been issued the certificate to authenticate this copy of Star Wars Vader Down, the Dynamic Forces exclusive cover, as one of the specifically limited series of the first run. Okay, excellent. How about that? And then number two, because there are two items in this bonus Ziploc bag.
What?
is this... Oh, cool. I have... Oh, wait. It's a nap pillowcase. I didn't even know these things existed. All right. I suddenly just got really excited about this. I'm totally taking this pillowcase and putting it on the pillows in the cadet lounge at my ROTC unit. It's a nap! All right, there you go. Geekfuel.com/StarWarsReport. That was fun. Dude, I was not expecting that. We'll go through the rest of the box next week. I don't want to take too much time because we got to do... Oh, wait. I got to pick up my phone here to officially get the sounder going so that we can ring in Boba's bounty.
You're worth a lot to me. As you wish.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Each and every week, you know how it goes. We talk about something we've been doing in the world of Star Wars. But, Scott, but not just doing. It might be something we've listened to, watched, heard, experienced, smelled, talked about, encountered, or otherwise forgotten. It's here at Boba's Bounty. You know what, Scott? I'm going to have you kick us off.
Okay, well, you know, the funny thing is when you told me I had to come up with the book, but actually, I'm sorry, when Bruce, the producer, told me that I had to come up with the Boba's Bounty.
You just texted
week,
me, by the way. Oh, sorry. I just said, speaking, he literally just texted me as you were saying that.
No, well, see, I just, you know, I know that there's now a layer of separation between us normal people and Riley now.
Oh, come on. So, yeah, because that's the truth. You know what? In fact, I'll have him, you'll probably be hearing from him in the next week or two, and we'll schedule you for Star Wars tonight.
Riley has requested your presence in the highest order. So I started snooping around. I was like, what have I been doing? And I realized I've not been invited on Star Wars Report in quite some time. And so there are really three different things I came up with. So I'm going to give you the option.
Okay.
Door number one, door right. number two, or Dormammu.
Wait. Is that a Doctor Strange reference?
That was a Doctor Strange reference.
I got it.
Let me tell you the twist ending.
Please do.
Okay, the twist ending is 30 minutes into the movie, the power goes out, and they kick you out of the theater.
What? Mind blown.
Yep.
I didn't even know they could do that, man.
Yep. They did it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do they call that, like, when they say LIMAX, what they really mean is that they lie about the movie actually showing to completion.
Yes.
That is amazing. So, all right, well, tell me door number two. I'm in reverse order. Okay.
Number two is my favorite. I was hoping you'd pick number two.
Oh, hey.
A short while back, I invited our mutual friend, Steve Glosson, to town. Steve had been talking on his Geek Out Loud podcast. May I plug?
You may, sir, of course. Okay. In fact, I do every week anyway.
Geek Out Loud podcast. Actually, he might have been talking about it on his world famous Big Honkin' Show podcast, which I try to catch as often as I can. He was talking about the fact that his new hobby is to collect old trading cards. And I happen to have a box full of these old Battlestar Galactica, Mork and Mindy, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Superman the Movie, Superman 2, you know, cards. And I told him, I said, I'm keeping them in my storage unit. If you'd like, you know, if you're going to be in the area, come on over. We'll go through my storage unit and I'll get you the cards. Well, he did, and we went through there, and we, by the way, documented the whole thing, and I'm not sure what to do with that, but something will be happening with it. Anyway, so we did that, and of course I never found the cards, which was great, and left Steve with a warm, happy feeling. But, you know, 'cause you dragged me all the way down here for this, but what I did decide to bring home from the storage unit, because I just felt like it needed to be in my possession and not sitting in a storage unit, was this shoebox.
Oh, we have a Reebok, very well used, kind of frayed edges shoebox here.
The shoebox contains...
Oh, and...
my action figures.
Nice!
And so I brought them home, and I actually did a Periscope video a short while back where I went through the entire box and grabbed everything out and told little stories about all the figures in here. But it really was a blast. It's neat to have them back under the roof. I decided to take them out. Here is what Anthony Bresnikan told me is the most lost piece of the original Millennium Falcon toy. He was mistaken. It is not this. It is the seeker ball that is the most missed, lost piece.
Take that, Bresnikin.
The original we're talking. Huh?
I just said, take that, Bresnikin.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's just been a lot of fun to get my old school stuff, my old toys. Look at R2. R2's looking good.
R2's very glowing. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Gotta get out of that light.
Nice. Okay.
Let me take off the. Let me turn my key light off.
Nice.
R2's looking quite good. Look at that.
Yeah. What year?
This is the sensor scope one, so it's 81 or 82.
How about that? How about them apples?
Now, the original 78 R2 is in here, too, and he's not quite as handsome. He's,
What? R2 has, like, some sort of tape residue on him? Like, some...
No, that's his... That's what they... His torso, that's what they did. They put... It's the decal. That's what they did. They made his... It's white, and then they put a decal around it.
Yeah.
See?
Okay.
That has the details, and it has just worn slap away because... You know why? Because these things were played with. And I think I said in the video, you know, you can have your graded, carded thing all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer this.
Oh, really?
This is my childhood.
Yeah.
This was playtime. This was storytelling. This was it. Mm-hmm. You can keep your 12-back graded, carded, and all that other good stuff. I'm keeping this one.
Nice. Dude, that is amazing.
Yeah, it's full of great stuff. A lot of good memories.
Oh, wow. That's BSG, right? Original.
Yeah, that's Muffet the Daggett from Battlestar Galactica.
Is that from 1980? Battlestar?
It would have been 19. The figures would have come out in 78, 79.
Gotcha. My memory of Battlestar Galactica is that the one where they go to Earth.
Oh, yeah, 1980, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
I try to not remember that one.
those are the only ones we saw as kids at visiting our grandma's house on cable
really?
TV, on TV Land or whatever it was. Oh, nice. Wow, yeah. Scott's holding up quite an assortment for the audio listeners.
That's the Cairo Swordsman. If you just shoot him, he'll fall over. That's all he does.
Oh, well, that's quite a feature, man. I didn't even know they could do that. Dude, that's awesome. Well, walk me through door number one real quick then.
Oh, door number one, really quickly. Door number one was this that I picked up this summer. Got it signed by the artist whose name is right here, Greg McCullough.
Okay.
And it's a Boba Fett Donald Duck mashup. And the reason I think this is special is because, and I wanted to tell everybody, because this is November. And Disney has issued an edict that they're getting rid of all the mashup characters.
Yep, sure have.
And McCullough had quite an inventory of prints. So what they told him was, you got until the end of 2016 to sell all your prints.
Oh, wow.
So McCullough's, you know, trying to get these things out of here. If you want one last chance at getting, you know, one of these originals like this, or this was a print, an original print, but you want a shot at getting one of these on the primary market, not the secondary market, You better go now.
Act now. Dude, that is amazing. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So I have...
And this was door number three, by the way. Ben Abusada.
Oh, nice.
Who's Kansas Geek Man, who's a great Star Wars fan. Nice, super nice guy. Wonderful, interesting family history. And he's actually going to be illustrating some Topps cards.
Nice.
He sent me an original sketch card just as kind of a thank you for doing the My Star Wars story and everything. So...
Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It was really awesome of him, yeah.
Yeah, that is a great sketch. That's Boba, right? I can't really tell the color grade. Yeah.
And he signed it on the back.
Nice.
Very cool.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that, and he did, and it was really neat.
That absolutely, absolutely. Well, this week for me, for Boba's Bounty, I have, as a lot of my story, Star Wars, as a lot of my Star Wars stories, so to speak, go and on this segment, it has to do with either ROTC or lifeguarding and a conversation I had with somebody else about Star Wars. In this case, it's definitely ROTC. So this last Thursday, we got our official AFSCs, Air Force Specialty Codes, our jobs, our assignments for what we'll be doing in the wild blue yonder. I'm very excited. I got intel. I will be an intelligence officer, 14 November, X-ray. We don't know the exact assignment, but I'll be spending some months in Texas, man. It's going to be an interesting time.
That's very cool.
So, of course, a very big moment. Everyone went out and celebrated, and it was a long night, and I still did Star Wars Tonight that Thursday. I just got back super late, and we still made it happen somehow. I have no idea how. Listen to that. Just go listen to the Thursday edition. That's all I'm going to say. also, but what subsequently followed was Friday night, so yesterday as we're recording this, was the big sort of end of semester shindig. We call it the cadet appreciation event, and it's basically just us reserving a giant gymnasium at Georgia Tech and renting a giant karaoke machine and ordering an irresponsible amount of pizza and wings, and then we all get together, celebrate the end of semester with the ROTC detachment. And so it was karaoke night. So I had the opportunity to perform.
Job of Flow?
The first one, no. I should have. That would be highly obscure for that crowd. But I, of course, the first one, My Way, Frank Sinatra. We had to class up the joint a little bit. Enough of this Justin Bieber crap, everybody. Let's get some true class. I just realized I'm already such an old man. I'm 20.
You were just born old, George.
Exactly. But more importantly, myself and another big Star Wars fan, Cadet Sandor, we did a duet version of Weird Al's Anakin guy.
Oh, wow.
And we did the whole thing, man.
That's a lengthy piece.
The whole thing, all the way through, in all of its horrible glory. I really wish there was video evidence of this, but I didn't think to. True to form with our generation, I'm sure there was Snapchat videos that were taken and immediately disappeared. Because that's the way it goes. We're like, we want to share everything that happens in our lives, but make sure that there's no evidence of it.
Preserve none of it.
Exactly.
Yes.
So yeah, no, that was my and I'm telling you, man, I'm better at Sinatra than I am Weird Al. I'm not gonna lie. Which I guess if I had to pick one of the two, right? You know, I'll take the Sinatra.
Yeah.
Absolutely, dude. Wow, I just looked at the time and realized that we're out of it. So unfortunately, I'm gonna have to wrap up.
Wait.
This episode of the Star Wars... Oh, God. What? We can't...
Stop.
What? Stop. Did we forget?
You got to recognize your Patreon supporter.
Oh, but... I am not but two steps ahead of you, sir. Because that's exactly what I was about to say.
No!
But before we go... Although I do appreciate the reminder. But before we go, I do have to thank everyone who directly supports the show to impact it and make it happen at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. You can head over there and check out some great bonuses that we're doing, including weekly bonus audio content courtesy of the Star Wars Tonight Project every Friday episode. Now, yesterday, Friday turned out to be a pretty busy day for me with I was busy singing Weird Al songs, so I wasn't able to record, but we're about to get ready to wait, what did we say we were going to do? What is it at the beginning of
something to do with the trailer, and I'm going to narrate.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm going to download an app, a piano app, on my phone. This is going to go great. I have no idea if this is going to work. And then Scott's going to dramatically narrate Rogue One trailers. And he's just going to say, make 10 men feel like 110 times while I play the Imperial March on a piano. There you go. That's the kind of bonus content you can get.
You ought not tell them that. Just... saying
at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. You can find us on Twitter. It's at Star Wars Report, Facebook/StarWarsReport, and of course StarWarsReport.com. Scott Rifen can be found at the My Star Wars Story podcast. Make sure you subscribe. I did an episode way back when, and it sounds like, dude, I can't wait for that David Collins one. That's
it's so, but Bobby Roberts has done one and it's stellar. Uh-huh. And Carl LeClaire has done one, and it's still. I think Carl hasn't done one yet. Well, it's going to be stellar. Carl, I've been talking about it for a while.
Well, Carl, and in fact, I did do Carl.
I have Carl.
Oh, excellent. Because it's funny you mentioned that, because I was talking to Carl the other day. I'm very excited because he's going to be on Star Wars tonight.
What?
All right, I'm so terrible. My Star Wars story, everybody. Also at Rifen. Scott Space is so good. At Rifen, at the Riley Guy on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. And until next time, may the Force be with you. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Here it is. Thank you for listening to the Star Wars Report podcast. Remember, the opinions expressed in this program do not represent those of Peter Quill, Gamora, or Groot. Also, never do math with Cassian Andor. You know why? He's going to make 10 men feel like 100. That's my new favorite bit at the end of the show.
See, you didn't get to make-